24 of the Wrestling Insomniac Podcast. My name is Mike. I have tried in good faith to record an episode for quite a while now. I'm working 60 plus hours a week. I'm going to school. I got three kids. I'm recording my other podcast. Last night I tried to sit down and record something, and I literally fell asleep in the middle of talking. That's how tired I was. So I apologize. But I'm here this week. I got an episode for you. I'm going to talk a little bit about, what else? Wrestling. Hell in a Cell. Better pay-per-view than SummerSlam. Really enjoyed it. Hated the finish, incidentally. The Red Cell I thought was going to be distracting. Didn't bother me as a home viewer, so I don't know how it worked for you guys on if they were there in person. The opening match, Jeff Hardy against Randy Orton. Not going to lie, wasn't expecting much out of this. Just wasn't. And I was blown away. I really, really enjoyed the match. I even watched it again. You know, I love the, you know, it was just violent. Not for the sake of violence, but it was violent in a storyline sense. And it made sense. And it's probably one of the most violent matches in WWE in quite a while. And it was really, really good. Randy Orton getting his back busted open, getting his leg busted open. They didn't stop the match for these incidental bleedings. That was refreshing. The screwdriver to the earlobe probably didn't hurt or didn't hurt much because I've seen those things stretch out pretty far. But it looked vicious. It looked gross. It looked disgusting. But it was great. And then the finish. Jeff Hardy's going to try to leapfrog a ladder from one over the other and put Orton through a table with a leg drop, we're assuming. But he thinks he's going to hit the cage on the leapfrog, so instead he just kind of, you know, holds himself up on the cage and drops down to try and put him, you know, Orton through the table. And Orton moves, and Jeff Hardy just viciously hits that table and hits that mat. It looked bad. And then the ref's reaction was perfect, you know, saying he's hurt, calling for help. You know, Randy Orton just not caring, covering him, telling him to, you know, count it out. And he goes, and the ref's like, he's hurt. And Randy Orton, the hell with he's hurt, do your job. The ref reluctantly making the three count. And then the ring announcer, you know, another nuance that made this awesome. He didn't do the big grand, Randy Orton. He just said, and your winner, Randy Orton. I mean, it was awesome. No, almost no emotion with which way he said it. Other than disgust, I mean, it was great. This match was tremendous. Probably the best match of the night, maybe even. Becky Lynch beating Charlotte Flair for the title. As much as I love Charlotte, I love Becky. I was happy to see Becky win. And at the end, when Charlotte tried to reconcile and Becky just picked the belt up and said, you won't take my moment, loved it. That was another great match. Ziggler and McIntyre defeated Rollins and Ambrose to retain the Raw Tag Team titles. Yeah, as long as Ambrose wasn't in the ring, this match was pretty good. But the hot tag he got from Seth Rollins just killed that momentum the second he got in the ring. Go back and watch it. It's just all momentum that carries in from that hot tag died instantly when he stood there waiting for the guy. It was just, yeah, Ambrose sucks, plain and simple. Match got better as it got near the end, as long as, again, Ambrose wasn't in the ring. Samoa Joe, I don't think this whole AJ Styles story is necessary with his family, that is. I don't care for it. These guys are good enough that they don't need to have that. This match was excellent. I loved the finish, actually, which is surprising, but I love the finish. With he's got the Kokita clutch on Styles. Styles does the you know, the old push off roll up thing, a la Bret Hart against Roddy Piper, Bret Hart against Steve Austin, or last month, Kairi Sane against Shayna Baszler. And the referee counts three, but on the other side where the ref can't see, AJ Styles taps out. And it was excellent, because even AJ said, yeah, I guess it's I lucked out, the ref didn't see it, but I'm still the champ. And it gives a reason for the story to continue. And I don't know. I'm enjoying their matches together. I love their matches in TNA. I'm enjoying their matches in WWE. These guys are just great together. Miz and Maryse against Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella. I thought for sure Brie would pin Maryse, and then Miz could still brag, well, you haven't beaten me yet, though, Daniel, in this run. But I was surprised when Maryse pinned Brie with a handful of tights, but you know, it is what it is. I'm sure their match coming up here in Australia at the Super Showdown there, I think Daniel Bryan will finally get his much-deserved win, and then we get to see Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles. And that's what everyone wants to see. Ronda Rousey against Alexa Bliss. Ronda still continues to surprise me with her in-ring skill. It's just way better than you think it's going to be, and she's gotten better with every match. She also busted out a nice doctor bomb, so that always makes me happy when that happens. Alicia Fox's outfit, though, was exceptionally distracting. I mean, what the frig was up with that? And also, I keep waiting for Natalya to turn on Ronda. I do. I keep waiting for it. And then the main event started at 10:10, which had me a little concerned because their pay-per-view's been running almost till 11 o'clock, but they did finish about quarter of this time. And I was genuinely surprised how much I liked this match. We got a Universal Championship, Roman Reigns against Braun Strowman, who's cashing his money in the bank in a Hell in a Cell match. And it was just way better than I thought it was going to be. And I was enjoying it. This is where it lost me. You got McIntyre, Ziggler, Rollins, and Ambrose all run out. That doesn't surprise me. They brawl all over the outside of the cage. They go up the cage. You got all kinds of spots on top of the cage. And eventually Rollins and Ziggler take table bumps from hanging on the side of the cage like Shawn Michaels did. Okay. The whole time, Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns are playing dead in the ring. The whole time. Like 10 minutes of this. Then Lesnar comes out. Awesome. I love Brock Lesnar. I don't care what anyone says. Every time I hear his music, I get pumped up. Lesnar comes out, kicks the door down, and then walks up the door as it's leaning against the ring like it's a ramp. Loved it. I thought that was fantastic. And then he takes pieces of the table and just beats Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns with it. Love that, too. Then he F5s him both. Fantastic. My thought process, Reigns is going to either beat Strowman this way, or Strowman's going to beat Reigns to win the title. Either way, you know, it's Brock Lesnar caused the finish. Oh, no, no. They called for the bell. And that's where the bullshit comes in. It's a Hell in a Cell match. No DQ. No count out. Submission or pinfall. There must be a winner. You know, the referee had no choice. Yes, he did. This was bullshit. This was garbage. I did not like it. Not a good way to end the show. Not at all. But that builds to November 2nd in Saudi Arabia for Crown Jewel live on the WWE Network. Main event being Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman for the Universal Championship. So there we go. The Marine 6 starring The Miz and Shawn Michaels with Becky Lynch being the villain comes out in November. I thought that was hilarious that there's a sixth Marine movie. 205 Live gets moved to Wednesdays at 7 p.m., so now it's 205 pre-recorded. It's going to be on before NXT, and then the Mae Young Classic, which, if you haven't been watching the Mae Young Classic, you're missing out. Some great matches so far in this first round, now that the first round is completely over. Io Shirai versus Zaya Brookside looked edited to me, which maybe it wasn't, but it looked like it was edited. I don't know. Felt disconjointed, but whatever. I enjoyed what we saw of the match. So, yeah, definitely check out the Mae Young Classics. Only going to get better in the second round because, well, they really do bring in the top women wrestlers around the world, you know, and it's great. I mean, it truly is great. Some HBK rumors looking coming up, possibly. It seems more likely what's going to happen at the Super Showdown in Australia. We got Triple H against Undertaker. Kane's in Undertaker's corner. Shawn Michaels in Triple H's corner. And this is going to lead to a tag match between the two at Crown Jewel. So DX against the Brothers of Destruction at Crown Jewel seems to be the most likely result of this. I hope this means Shawn Michaels comes back for more matches. I would love to see Shawn Michaels against Daniel Bryan. Shawn Michaels against AJ Styles. Shawn Michaels against Samoa Joe. Shawn Michaels against Sting, which probably still will never happen, but man, a guy can dream, you know? A guy can dream. Matt Hardy allegedly retired via Facebook post a couple weeks ago, and it'll be interesting to see what comes of that. Is he just retiring the broken or woken Matt Hardy character? Is he retiring as Matt Hardy altogether? Sounds like he might be working as a producer backstage behind the scenes. It seems surprising because he loves wrestling, but And he's been wrestling for 20-something years, I realize, but he's still only in his 40s. I figured we'd get a few more years out of him, to be honest. That's just me, I guess. And Mick Foley, 20 Years of Hell. It was on after Hell in the Cell. A lot of stuff I'd heard before, read about in his books, and sometimes that rehash gets old. But we got a different point of view on some of the things. We got some new stories out of this. And honestly, watching him tell the story in this context, the emotion with which he displayed talking about the match and everything involved, I mean, it was very touching at times. This was excellent, so definitely check that out. On NXT, we got Pete Dunne versus Ricochet. It was friggin' amazing. Absolutely, even the finish doesn't bother me, but go watch Pete Dunne versus Ricochet on NXT from a couple weeks ago. It was friggin' amazing. Bola, PWG, Battle Los Angeles 2018, finished. Jeff Cobb is your winner of the tournament, so that'll be interesting to see what happens next with him. He's got a title match against Walter coming up, I'm assuming, at the next PWG show, so... CMLL, September 14th, 2018, at Arena Mexico in Mexico City. They had their 85th anniversary show. This is their WrestleMania, if you will. CMLL is the longest... The CMLL anniversary show is the longest wrestling professional wrestling show. It's the 85th time they've had the anniversary show. And, yeah. It's, it was main evented by Rush and Barbaro, I'm going to just destroy this name, by the way. Barbaro Cavanero against Matt Taven and Velado Jr. in a 2-out-of-3 falls hair versus hair match. And Matt Taven lost his hair. As a guy living in New England, Maine, and Matt Taven's from New England, and watching him wrestle locally a lot, to see him main eventing CMLL's 85th anniversary show is kind of surprising. Little shocking. He's one of the only... gringos that was on the show, and he lost his hair, and he did not look happy about having his head shaved. So the rest of the show was pretty solid. Every other match was six man Lucha Libre rules match, which is not a surprise. Six matches on the card, you get 5 6-man tags, and then the main event, probably one of the best matches of the night was Demonte Azul and Los Lucha Brothers, which is King Phoenix and Penta El Zero Madero, against again, I'm going to destroy these names. LA Park, El Hijo de LA Park, and Caristico. Yeah, that was a solid match. That was off the charts. So yeah, CMLL put on a great show. You know, if you look at, you know, CMLL's 85th anniversary show and AAA's Triple Mania, they happen in a short distance from each other, and yeah, it's nice to see these Mexican companies getting some coverage up here in the States. You know, you could have watched CMLL's 85th anniversary show both on New Japan World or Honor Club. So that was cool. I'm happy to see this. I love wrestling, and I love all these companies from around the world getting all this exposure. I myself went to a wrestling show Friday, September 21st, Limitless Wrestling's 3rd anniversary show at the Westbrook National Guard Armory. Close to 500 people in their attendance that night. It was a great night of wrestling. You know, myself, my son Roy went down. We met my buddies Mikey and Roy. We met Bradford the Barber, who's a cool cat. He's from Canada. He comes down, cuts people's hairs. Wicked, wicked nice guy. I actually first met him at Limitless Wrestling back in January of 2016, when Chris Hero wrestled Zack Sabre Jr. in Orono, Maine, on a stormy January night. Yes, that's right. Chris Hero against Zack Sabre Jr. Those guys put on a just hell of a 30-minute match. Anyways, so met my buddies there, and we had some great wrestling. In the opening bout, the Dirty Daddy Chris Dickinson defeated the Machine Brian Cage with a Pazuzu Bomb. Great hard-hitting match. Can't say enough about it. Wrestling in person is always better than wrestling on TV, in my opinion, because you're there. Anyways, Christian Casanova with Stokely Hathaway defeated Kevin Blackwood. Another great match there as well. Stokely Hathaway is a fantastic manager. No doubts about it. I love watching him, his interactions with the crowd, just his interactions with the other wrestlers, his facial expressions. He's awesome. Awesome as a manager. Mainstay Posse, Alexander Lee, Aiden Agro, and Danger Kid. They defeated Free to Think, Jeff Cannonball, Brandon Kirk, with Casey Cattell, Joey Eastman in their corner. The stipulation was, if Mainstay Posse won, Joey Eastman's gone from it. Limitless Wrestling. If Free to Think won, the MSP has to break up. So, unfortunately, Joey Eastman is no longer in Limitless Wrestling. Excuse me. Casey Cattell actually filled in for Mike McCarthy, who was supposed to wrestle on the show and didn't. And Casey Cattell really stole the show, honestly, in this match. That girl, the smallest of everyone out there, took an ass whooping, gave an ass whooping, took some serious bumps. It was awesome. She was fantastic. Let's see, next up on the show, we got Colt Cabana defeated Retrosexual Anthony Green with the Platinum Honeys. Yeah, your typical Colt humor in this match. You had some good wrestling in this match. It was just a fun, great match. AG's awesome, plain and simple. Colt Cabana is great in the ring. He's great at what he does. I mean, with his style of wrestling, he'll be wrestling 20 more years, most likely. But yeah, great match. Really, really enjoyed it. What else? Pro Wrestling Revolver Open Invite Scramble. Ace Austin defended his title and retained it when he defeated Sami Callihan, Jessica Havoc, Mick Moretti, Danny Garcia, and the surprise unknown entrant of M-Dog 20, Matt Cross. Yeah. I mean, Matt Cross, Limitless Wrestling is bringing in Matt Cross as a surprise unadvertised talent, for crying out loud. It was great. Super great match. You know, they did a funny bit where Jessica Havoc saw Matt Cross and said, "Hey, are you Son of Havoc?" And that's his gimmick he plays in Lucha Underground. He said, "Yes." She goes, "But I'm Jessica Havoc, and you're Son of Havoc." "Son! Mom!" And then they just kept that up through the whole match. It was great. Standout in this match, Daniel Garcia. I've never heard of this guy. I've never seen this guy wrestle. He was great. I mean, he was great. His intensity, he came off as an asshole, and I think that's what he wanted. He was excellent in the ring. I really enjoyed him. I look forward to seeing him more in the future in NXT, in Limitless, I hope. Josh Briggs beat Brody King in a battle of the big men. Great match. Both these guys can deliver. Enjoyed it. Post-match, they set up next Limitless show, Chris Dickinson against Josh Briggs. So, that should be awesome. Chris Statlander and Davey N defeated Ashley Vox and Willow Nightingale. Great tag team women's match here. Storyline being that Ashley Vox has been stealing Chris Statlander's thunder, in Statlander's mind only. And Statlander's been wanting revenge, and she got a measure of revenge tonight. And that was cool. Good match. Austin Theory with Stokely Hathaway pinned DJ Z with his finisher called Ataxia. I don't know how to explain this move. You have to see it to believe it. Harry Aaron, who's the photographer at ringside for Limitless as well as a bunch of other places, he put a video out. It's on Twitter. I've already shared the video, so go check my Twitter at SuperstarMel if you want to see this. There's a highlight video of Limitless Wrestling where you can see this finishing move in it. Whew! Yeah. Yeah. That was crazy intense. Great match between these two. I was never a big fan of DJZ on TNA on TV, but man, tonight, he blew me away. I'd seen Austin Theory before in tag matches, but not in a singles match in person. Again, he blew me away. He had this whole combination thing that he did where he does a diving clothesline into the corner, allowing the momentum to carry him over the top rope. He then trips up Z onto his back and then does a slingshot stomp to the chest, grabs his hand, whips him up into a vertical suplex. Crazy friggin' good combination. This was my favorite match of the night. I really want to see Austin Theory come back. I really do. So then we had the Wet Hot American Summer Street Fight with the Thick Boys against Whiskey Dick. Yep. That happened. Thick Boys won, yeah. And then Ace Romero pinned JT Dunn with a clothesline in the main event for the Battle of Limitless. And This match felt a little off to me tonight. I've seen both of these guys. I know they can go. I know they can have a great match. This match was good, but it just felt like off a little. And then the ending even felt a little rushed. So I don't know what happened. But the post-match return of MJF, the way they did that, the way they built it, JT Dunn turning on Ace Romero after, and MJF and JT Dunn joining forces. I can't wait to see what happens next to Limitless. And, next match up is going to be November 30th at the Portland Club, my least favorite wrestling venue in Maine. Why? Because the lighting is shitty for pitchers, and it's just not big enough for the crowd that Limitless brings in. And, anyways, that's completely selfish reasons, though. It's a great... If they were bringing in 100 people for a show, it'd be a great venue. They're bringing in, you know, multiple hundred people. It's just not big enough, in my opinion, but that's me. We get Mr. Fun Size, Marco Stunt, Darby Allin, and, of course, Josh Briggs against Chris Dickinson. That's who's been advertised so far. Tickets on sale October 8th. Again, that show is November 30th. And, yeah, you can go to my blog, thewrestlinginsomniac.com, to see my full report and check out a ton of my pictures that I took at the show to go along with it. So I got a couple big wrestling cards that I'm going to coming up. One of them being Lewiston, Maine, Ring of Honor Global Wars, November the 7th. And they are advertising at that show Ring of Honor World Champion Jay Lethal, six-man tag champions the Young Bucks with Cody Rhodes, the Briscoe Brothers, Punishment Martinez, Sumi Sakai, Villain Marty Scurll, Hangman Adam Page, SoCal Uncensored, Flip Gordon, Silas Young, Chris Sabin, Shane Taylor, and some New Japan talent yet to be announced. I doubt we'll see Tanahashi. I doubt we'll see Okada on these tours. But two nights later in New York, Kenny Omega is making an appearance at Northeast Wrestling in New York, where he's wrestling Phoenix King. And that is a surprise to me that Kenny Omega is going to run an indie show in Maine. I mean, in Maine, in the United States, but he is. And I only hope that Ring of Honor is taking advantage of him being around for that show. And as a New Japan talent, he's booked on this show. That would be phenomenally tremendous. Yeah. Also, next April, I'm going to More Than Mania weekend. Me, my buddy Mike, and my buddy Jay, we're going. We're going to stay in Midtown. So far, we've got tickets to the WrestleCon Super Show, which is Thursday at 8 p.m. We've got tickets to Joey Ryan's Penis Party, which is Friday night at 8 p.m. at the WrestleCon convention. We have tickets to the convention itself. And Saturday, we have tickets to Ring of Honor's New Japan show at Madison Square Garden. We're going to be going to a lot more shows. We'll be going to the convention both days. I mean, there's so many other shows that's going to be happening that day. Sadly, the location of the venues for WWN and Game Changer Wrestling might put us out of distance-wise because we're not going to have a car. And it looks to be 45 minutes to an hour by train to go to those other venues. And I don't think that's anything where any of us are interested in, especially when there's plenty of wrestling that's going to be right there for us to watch. On Friday at 4 p.m. is also going to be Rev Pro. Tickets haven't gone on sale yet, but I mean, when they do, I plan on buying them. So, yeah, I got plenty of wrestling opportunities next April in the vicinity with which our hotel is and where we're going to be at. And I'm just so excited for that weekend. And I guess that kind of wraps up what I want to talk about today. The only other thing I guess I want to touch on real quick is a little bit of Impact Wrestling. And the little bit I want to talk about there is the fact that Fabi Apache, Impact taped in Mexico, and they got Fabi Apache on the show. I sincerely love Fabi Apache. I just do. I think she's a wonderful wrestler. And she had a match with Alicia. And then the following week, this most recent Thursday, she has a match with Tessa Blanchard for the Knockouts Women's Championship. She won one, didn't win the other. But it didn't matter. Just seeing Fabi Apache on TV up here, it gives me hope. I'm really hoping that AAA has a presence next year at More Than Mania. I'm really hoping someone brings up the Apache Sisters or, you know... basically any of those talents down there, any of the Mexican talents that we don't get to see. I'm really hoping when I go to More the Mania next year, I get to see a bunch of Japanese, United Kingdom, German, Mexican talents that I can't see or would never have the opportunity to see up here in Maine. You know, Limitless Wrestling brings in some names that shocks me. They brought in Phoenix King, you know. I know he's tried to bring in Matt Riddle all this time, and it just didn't work out. I know that he tried, you know, Pentagon Zero's fee is way up there from what I've heard. So, I mean, I can understand why that doesn't happen. But I just, yeah. Yeah, I'm just hoping to meet a bunch of talent that I wouldn't have the chance otherwise to meet next year at More Than Mania weekend, or weekdays, as I'm calling it, so. Anyhow, I guess that truly is all I have to talk about this week. Yeah, I'll have more to talk about next week, or next time, or next episode. But until then, thanks for listening, and check out my blog, The Wrestling Insomniac. You can see my new trading cards I just posted. Check out some great reports from me going to Limitless Wrestling, and just Sting's lost WCW matches that you may not have known about. So that's TheWrestlingInsomniac.com. On Twitter, I'm at SuperstarML, and thanks.